So we have the joy at Pentecost of witnessing the gift of confirmation. And so it stirs up for me a response to something that I see in the Catholic world, maybe in discussions sometimes, and even here in Cedar Rapids, which is this prayer asking God for a new or second Pentecost. My somewhat snarky response generally when I hear that is, what's wrong with the first one? And it's not just being snarky for the sake of being snarky. It's because I think there's actually a deep theological misunderstanding that's kind of buried in that and is actually somewhat dangerous for us spiritually. Because we are living in the era of the church that was inaugurated by Pentecost itself. So there is not some chasm that exists between what God did 2,000 years ago with the initial descent of the Holy Spirit and now us living in some separate island of time. It is the same Spirit of God that is poured out. And in fact, I think this idea that there needs to be a second or new Pentecost actually comes from the emergence of Protestant theology, especially Pentecostalism. The idea that the Spirit's work is manifested most especially by outwardly magnificent or seemingly mystical signs. Not only is that contrary to the way that God works throughout the Scriptures, not only is that dangerous because the evil one is capable of replicating, counterfeiting certain gifts that seem magnificent, but it also goes against what we understand the truth of the church and the sacraments to be. The sacraments themselves are concrete encounters with the very life of God. That is the Holy Spirit. So just listen to the gospel that we heard today. Receive the Holy Spirit. And Jesus doesn't then say, go speak in tongues, go tell the future, go heal people. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. This is the gift of the sacrament of reconciliation. When we receive the Eucharist, St. John Paul II says, we eat spirit and fire. When we are baptized, we are baptized through the Holy Spirit into the very life of the triune God. When we are confirmed, that gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us, regardless of how we feel in the moment, regardless of the fact that the vast majority of the time we don't see tongues of fire or rushing winds. God gives us the sacraments, God gives us the church, because He is not one who rations the gift of His Spirit to a select few. Over and over and over, God makes it clear that His desire is to give Himself to everyone who will receive Him. God desires to be generous, and the church herself is the manifestation of that. She is the continuation, in many ways, of Pentecost itself. So we don't need a second or new Pentecost. We need to, as St. Paul says in his writings to Timothy and to Titus, to stir into flame the gift that was given to us in our baptism, in our confirmation, me as a priest in my ordination. It isn't asking God to do something all over again. It's asking Him to continue the work that was begun at that gift of Pentecost, in that moment. And in the intimacy, the individuality of our own lives, this matters too. Because if we think that we need some lightning bolt kind of experience, that we need to hear voices or see visions, that there need to be exteriorly supernatural manifestations for us to really be close to God, we will forever walk feeling separated from Him, that something must be wrong with me, because the vast majority of us will not live into supernatural life with those gifts. And that is dead wrong and dangerous because it feeds the lie that God isn't close to us and doesn't want what's best for us. But over and over, God shows that He prefers to work in quiet intimacy, in hiddenness, in gentleness. This gospel, Jesus isn't stopped by locked doors. Jesus knows the fear that has gripped the hearts of the apostles. Jesus even knows the shame that they feel, and He shows them the wounds that they probably blame themselves for. And each time, peace be with you. And beyond that, here is the gift of my Spirit. And the Spirit is not something. The Spirit is the very life of God. We share God's own life with Him. And so, wherever it is in our lives that we feel we are somehow separated from God, wherever it is we have set up locked doors, this is the day when we receive Him in the Eucharist, eating fire and Spirit, to pay attention, to look for Him to come past those locked spaces, or at the very least, to remind ourselves that His desire is to wish us peace, and that this peace, this shalom, the word that He would have spoken, is a wholeness. So He's not waiting for us to get our act together, to go on the right retreat, to have the right person pray over us. He's not waiting for any of that. He is the one who makes us whole. So He comes to us when we're not. He comes to us when we're afraid, when we feel separated from Him, when we feel ashamed, because He Himself is the one who is the answer. He Himself is the one who draws all the scattered pieces of our hearts together. It is vitally important that we as the church understand that we're not standing around waiting for a second Pentecost before we go out and share the gospel with others, or before we allow God to continually transform and convert our lives. Pentecost has already happened. We are living in the midst of it, and God, every week, every day, if we want it, opens the treasure trove of His grace to us. And yes, it often looks like quietly coming before Him, letting Him work in the silence. Any of us who have made a fire know it's easy to make the fire look big if you throw enough accelerant on it, but then it burns down fast and it gets dark again. It takes continual attention, care, patience, to keep a fire that will keep you warm and well illuminated going. God supplies the fire, and He just asks that we would quietly, patiently tend the bonfire, if you will, of our own souls, our own hearts. And if we receive that, then yes, we are able to extend the grace of Pentecost, the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, His own life, not on a few people, but on everyone. When we come into these churches, to St. Wenceslaus, to Immaculate Conception, that are situated in the very heart of our city, we're surrounded by neighborhoods whose people are not here most of the time. So we have a unique responsibility and call to take the life of God to them. And that will only happen if we as a parish, and each of us individually as parishioners, come to Jesus with the expectation that the grace of Pentecost continues to unfold for us in the ordinary experiences of the sacraments and of the daily life of prayer, God's grace. Very simply, as we come into and go out of church, do we stop and pray that the Spirit we experience here will go out and will convert the hearts of those who surround us? And are we aware of, in our own lives, those people who may never meet another Catholic? Do they encounter in us someone who thinks, who speaks, who acts differently from the spirit of the world because we have the Spirit of God in us? Because in a real way, we are the Pentecost that God is giving to them. So as we watch these two sisters of Christ, sisters in Christ of ours, come to receive the sacrament of confirmation, we ask the Lord to stir up within us the Spirit given in baptism, in confirmation, brought back to life and reconciliation, enhanced, deepened, intensified in the Eucharist. Not looking to warm, fuzzy feelings or intensity of zeal, but by the slow and deliberate, continual application of love into our lives. Because ultimately, the clearest manifestation of God's Spirit is not having visions, healing people physically, hearing voices, seeing the future. It is the very power to love God with everything we are and our neighbor as ourselves. That is the clearest fruit of God's Spirit and life within us.